Welcome to Hope Is Here. I am continuing my conversation with Megan Jordan on an article about when your faith is shaken. And whether you've been a follower of Jesus for 24 hours or 24 years, our faith gets shaken just because life is hard. And this side of heaven, things just happen. And unfortunately, sometimes as Christians, we have this false belief that maybe, you know, things should be warm and fuzzy and sunshiny days all the time and rainbows. But unfortunately, that's just not the fact of the matter. And we talked yesterday about some of the things that Megan, in this article, she just talked about the promise, the strategy, and how you can steward it with God's word when your faith is shaken. If you missed yesterday's program, I would encourage you to go to our website. Catch this 14-minute podcast. You can go to our website at your convenience at hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today. I think you'd really be blessed by that. But Megan, let's get on the application side to do now when your faith is shaken. One that you talked about, and it sounds so simple, but yet we are so busy in our culture. You started out with simply stay in the Word.
Yes, and that can be honestly one of the hardest applications to do. Because when your faith is shaken and you feel like everything is going wrong, the last thing that you want to do is get in the Word and read it. And I think that that's one of the enemy's greatest tactics. If he can keep you out of the Word, if he can keep you away from what God says, then, you know what I'm, he can dominate you. He can isolate you and dominate you because you're no longer connected with the Word. And even if you're reading something that you don't understand, it's still doing something in your spirit, even if you don't understand it yet. It's stirring something in you. It's doing something in you. It's deepening that relationship. So if you're not in the Word, you can't get your spirit stirred to get through that season.
I did a program a couple weeks ago, and I quoted that verse in Psalms about thy word is a lamp unto my feet and, you know, a light to my path and helps direct my path. And it's just so true. And I can remember back 20 years ago when I went through the flood, the bankruptcy, the unexpected divorce, all those things, and my world was just rocked. My faith was shaken, as we talk about today, and I just started reading the Bible from cover to cover and was reading a proverb a day, and it was the third day of the month, so I read chapter 3, and Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, were just, they become life verses, plural. I don't have just a life verse, different seasons, you have different verses, but Proverbs 3, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 simply says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge God, and he will direct your paths. He will make them straight. And that's kind of what you're saying here, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's such a level of surrender, of just being able to say, you know what, I'm not God, and I don't have this, but you do. And trusting that something other than yourself is going to lead you through this.
Verse that you talked about that people ought to read, Psalm 119, 114. Share that with us.
So that verse says, you are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. So to me, this says, how are you going to face what life is throwing at you without a shield? If you're just having constant rain, you need something to protect yourself and keep going. And this tells you alone that my hope is in your word.
Well, and I like the thing, too, that you wrote in this paper about when your faith is shaken. You said, read out loud the verses that tell you who God is. And,
yeah.
And I've just started doing it over the past few years. And I'll tell you, there's tremendous power in that, isn't there?
There is. There is something about a verbal agreement with who God is that just shakes your life in ways that you can't even fathom or understand. It can override your emotions. It can override what your mind is trying to tell you. When you are forcing out a verbal agreement, it causes everything in you to come into alignment with what that word says.
Then you went on to talk about Proverbs 18, verse 21, chapter 18, verse 21. And it was a verse I was thinking earlier, but I didn't say it. But ma'am, that's just a verse that I need to be constantly reminded. Share that with our listeners.
Sure. So Proverbs 18, 21 talks about death and life are in the power of tongue. And a lot of people will quote that and say life and death, but the scripture actually reads death and life, which, you know, Jennifer LeClaire talks about how humans are more prone to speak death than they are life, because that's just our nature. And that's why it's worded that way. That's up to your interpretation on that. But I tend to agree with that. We are so quick to speak negatively And if you really think about what you're thinking about, are you agreeing with the things that God says you should be thinking about? Are you agreeing with the kind of life that he said you should have? Because he said life and life abundantly. And so are you doing those things that would cause you to have an abundant life that is multiplied with his grace and his favor and his love for you? Are you dwelling in those things, or are you dwelling in how hard your season is right now and how you're never going to get out of it? Because those things are going to keep you stuck there for a lot longer than you have to be.
Well, I love the Lord's Prayer. You know, there's that one part of it says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I have to be honest, a lot of times instead of thy will, it's I pray God, Greg's will be done on earth. Oh, yeah, and if it's that way in heaven too, that'd be awesome.
Right.
But I kind of hear that's what you're saying there. And it's just that reminder of what you talked about earlier in today's program. It may have been yesterday's, but about staying in God's word. When you do that, it helps give us the mind of Christ. And, you know, I love where they went to John the Baptist after Jesus came on the scene. And, of course, Jesus was starting to do miracles. But John the Baptist was the guy that prepared the way, of course. And the people were starting to get confused. And they simply said, hey, you know, what do we do here, John? You know, do we follow Jesus or do you follow you? And I love the humility that John had in chapter 3, verse 30, where he said, Jesus must increase and I must decrease.
Yeah.
But man, that's hard in our flesh, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, everything about your flesh wants to argue that. Everything in your flesh wants to go against that point. No part of your human nature wants to decrease. In today's world, it is all about having the nicest stuff and, you know, being on top and doing everything that you can to make sure that your name is known. And everything about Christianity says it's all about his name being known. Mm. And that's what's most important.
Well, that's a great way to say that. I also like, you know, where you talked about death and life or in the power of the tongue. People are like, well, man, I want to do a better job with that. And he wasn't a spiritual speaker, but it ties into this verse. And he talked about, I said, you know, if you're a negative person, critical, whatever, he goes, I want to encourage you to get a rubber band. You know, we've all got a rubber band laying around somewhere and put it around your wrist. And anytime you say something negative, just pull it, you know, snap yourself. Well, as followers of Jesus, we know we can ask the Holy Spirit to help us be aware when we do that. And it just that awareness of doing that, I think, is huge. And for some of our listeners today, maybe that's a word for you. Maybe you need to get a rubber band out of the drawer, off your desk or something, and just ask the Holy Spirit, hey, when I'm critical, and I know there's some of the most mature followers of Jesus I know. I mean, they know God's word inside and out, but they're so critical, and yet it's not God honoring. And as you've talked about in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Another thing that you talked about, applications, you told a good story there from this passage in 1 Kings chapter 17. Share that with us.
Sure. So this is the passage talking about when Elisha goes to the widow and asks for some food, and she says that she doesn't have any. She's taking some sticks home so that she and her son can die. And this story actually comes from Pastor Stidham, so I don't want to take credit for that, give honor where it's due. But, you know, we had talked about and this had never made sense to me either, that he tells her to go home and he says, but first, make me a little cake and bring it to me. And I've always questioned, why would he ask that of her? When she thinks that she's going home to die, why would he ask her to do that for him anyway? Why not tell her, no, there will be plenty for you? Why ask for himself first? And Pastor Stidham had really elaborated on this context of, by making him that cake first, she was sewing into the mantle that he carried. And by giving him that, she was sewing into what God had laid upon him and all of the relationship that he had cultivated and carried, that anointing that he carried on his life that shortened her dry season. Because, you know, we know that after that there was oil and it just didn't stop, and she didn't have enough jugs to contain that. So by sewing into that mantle, sewing into that relationship that he had cultivated, and her dry season was shortened because the oil of his mantle overflowed into her life.
Well, it's just such a beautiful visual picture there to me of that. And, you know, you talked about in your article, when you sow, there's a spiritual law of abundance enacted that is just as concrete as the law of physics or gravity. And I've seen it throughout my life, just being faithful and tithing. And people say, oh, do I tithe off the gross or do I tithe off the net, you know, income off my check? And I heard my hero Wayne Smith say one time, well, it depends on whether you want a net blessing or a gross blessing. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, don't want to get into legalism. That's when you and God. But after I lost all the material things back in 2001, I started doing it off my gross instead of my net, because I wasn't making very, very much at all. It was back to like my first job out of college, and it was a big decrease. And I just kind of felt like the Holy Spirit said, you know, do you really trust me? And I'm thankful I can sit here and say 18 years later that I've never missed a meal. I've not been homeless. I've had a car to drive, and yet God's just, man, he's been faithful. So there's a lot in about sowing and trusting God there in that verse, in that story in 1 Kings 17.
Yeah, there's so many verses on the spiritual laws of abundance. One of my favorites is Psalms 37:25, just because I had never heard this verse before. I've never heard anyone use it or quote it, and it's so good. It talks about, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. And that goes right into what you were talking about. You know, you've never lacked, you know, on the meals or your what you needed, because he is in covenant with you. You, if you are tithing and you are sowing into that, I mean, he tells you that, you know, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. He says, test me in this and see if I will not throw open the floodgates to heaven and pour out so much blessing that you won't be able to contain it. And I don't believe that that's just monetary blessing. If you're going through a season where your faith is shaken, I believe that that blessing can come in the form of restored faith, restored relationship, a shorter dry season, something that, I mean, he's a God of suddenlies. He can flip your whole season upside down in 24 hours. That's what he did for me, coming out of that season that I went through that we were talking about earlier. I mean, 24 hours, he just flipped it upside down.
Well, and sometimes, it may take longer than that, but I love it because God does sometimes instantly change situations. And that's the thing I love about God, the relationship. We can't put him in a box. Sometimes he works instantly, like he did there in your case. And other times it may be a few seasons, a winter, but as I always remind people, when it's dark and it's cold and, you know, it's just dreary out there, that, hey, spring's coming. You know, things are going to come to life again. And that will do that as you stand on God's promises. I love that, you know, you talked about that Malachi. We talked about finances. I actually just read that earlier this morning in my devotion. We both love Jennifer LeClaire, and I love her devotion book, Mornings with the Holy Spirit. And she talked about that. That was one of the scriptures this morning. For some of you are having financial challenges today, I just want to encourage you to put God first in your finances. I know that does not make any kind of sense right now. You're like, Greg, I can't even pay my bills right now. How can I do that? But we serve a big, big God, and God's ways are not man's ways. And so if you want to trust that, for somebody listening today, start with something. I mean, you're like, I'm not going to tithe. That's fine, but start with something. If you're doing a dollar, do $10. If you're doing 20, try 40. Do something just that takes audacious faith. And I promise you that God will answer. I would challenge you to try to tithe, do it off the net even. I'd start with gross, but do that and just see what God will do. Because he has said that he will just pour out a blessing that you won't be able to handle. And I've seen you do it over and over in my life. Well, stay with us. Tomorrow we're going to talk more about the applications for when your faith is shaken with Megan Jordan. I'm Greg Horn, and this is Hope Is Here.
Need help with what to get mom for Mother's Day? Let Creations by Karen help you make mom feel special with a beautiful arrangement of flowers or a plant. Creations by Karen is locally owned for over 20 years and also offers candy, balloons, and other creative options to let mom know she is loved. Place your order for Mother's Day today at creationsbykaren.net. That's Creations with a K by Karen.net. Or call them at 859-277-6166. That's 859-277-6166.